And welcome back to episode 160 of the Weekly Tech Rant with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
Ah, what? Episode 160, Carl. Where is this year going? I can't believe it's March already. Oh, yeah, but just, you know, that's a lot of episodes. And we're in March 2024 already. I mean, again, this year is flying by, isn't it?
I know.
So this week we have got the roundup of MWC 2024, which seems to be back to its pre-COVID size, isn't it? We're seeing some of the pictures and the discussions coming out of there.
It looks
like it was well attended. So we're going to talk about MWC. We're going to talk NVIDIA. And there was a bit of a kind of a few stories this week around NVIDIA and how it basically has become the $2 trillion company that it is today. We're going to talk about Apple and its the DMC piece, particularly around some Spotify's, well, how Apple don't want to be friends with Spotify at the minute, but also how Meta and Microsoft are also unhappy with the DMA terms that Apple have put together for access for the new store, which we did talk about previously. We said people would be unhappy. We did.
Yeah, they ruffled some feathers.
Apple have officially killed off the Apple Car. Yes, the thing that didn't technically exist, but they're no longer making it. We'll talk a bit more about that in a moment as well. And the TechRant Rumor Mill is back this week, properly, with a rumor on the new MacBook Air. But then let's talk about MWC. And we'll start off with a story from Samsung. So, MWC, obviously, if you're thinking, you know, what's MWC, or like you can't remember what it is, Mobile World Congress. So it is the premier event, everything to do with telcos, carriers, mobile phones, associated technology. But these days it kind of spins out to AI. There's kind of security. There's cloud. It's pretty much an all-encompassing event. But the phone, telecommunications, is kind of what underpins it all, isn't it?
It is, definitely, yeah. I mean, that pretty much sums it up, really. It used to be all about the mobiles. Now it's a bit more than that.
And it is. And Samsung, pretty much every year, do major product releases. They usually have their what they call the Galaxy Unpacked events. Those are
last
sometimes,
month, wasn't it?
They were. They used to be held at Mobile Congress, but they now typically hold them, don't they, kind of beforehand, and they do some other product launches at MWC. But one of the things that kind of came out at the last Unpacked event was this brand new, what do we call it? Health ring? Wearable?
Wearable again, isn't it?
Yeah, called the Galaxy Ring. You know, let's be honest, their naming convention's pretty...
One ring to rule them all.
Oh, don't. I knew that was coming. So, yes, the Galaxy Ring has been teased, and it was also demoed and shown at Mobile Congress as well. Yeah. So, what is it? Well, it is exactly what it says. It is a ring, a smart ring, very similar to the ring that is created by a company called Aura. We'll talk about that in a little bit, a bit more in a second. But Samsung have released the Galaxy Ring, and it comes in three colors, platinum silver, ceramic black, and just gold. You know, there's no fancy
just gold.
Name.
There's no fancy name just in gold. Front of it, no?
It is. And it comes in several different sizes as well, because obviously we haven't all got the same finger size.
There's a nice range there of sizes, actually. I was surprised at that.
It is cool. Yeah, pretty much good. And effectively, it is a health wearable that allows you to track different metrics about your health, where you're sleeping, your fitness.
Heart rate, respiration, haven't we? Though they haven't said the exact sensors. They've been hush on that. But it will allow you to do these things, so, you know.
And all of these metrics are put together in a feature that is not yet released, but will be coming soon in the health app on Samsung phones called Your Vitality Score.
Yeah.
And it's apparently, according to Samsung, it is a metric that they've developed based on a model from the University of Georgia in the US that factors your sleep, your activity, your resting heart rate, and your heart rate variability. So that is the rhythm that your heart rate goes at, and that will give you your vitality score. And it'll also be featuring on their new Galaxy watches as well, coming to the Watch 6, which is going to be released later in this year. But the key thing is here, you're going to need a Galaxy S24 series phone to allow all this to work. So kind of it's very similar to how Apple, isn't it? You know, that you need the latest OS version or things like that. But this is Samsung really trying to get now into the health space, isn't it? Because they've got the Galaxy Watch, really hasn't been a strong contender to the Apple Watch, like every other wearable, really, isn't it? Let's be honest, in the market space. But yeah, like I said at the start, this to me looks really similar to the ring that is released by the company called Aura.
It does.
who kind of have the gold standard.
They do. They were there first, I think, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, the Fitness Family. And that they do a whole range of things. So they track sleep. They track your heart rate. They also track illness detection based on your temperature.
Okay.
They do your recovery rate. They do women's health as well. So around your natural cycle. Well,
Samson did say they were doing women's health as well.
Did, yeah. Okay. And they do stress as well. So very similar here as well. But I'm not surprised that Samsung are getting into this space, but they've gone down a different road to Apple, haven't they? Because Apple are trying to push everything down the watch.
Yep.
Samsung clearly feel that the Galaxy Watch is never going to be able to compete properly with it. And, you know, I guess not everybody wants to wear a watch at night, do they, as well, for sleep tracking?
But I think Samsung are kind of indicating that you should have the ring and the watch to get the...
Well, there was an element of that,
okay.
Wasn't there?
Okay. Right, okay.
But yeah, so what do you think? I mean,
I like the look of the rings. I've always kind of been interested in it, but I've got the watch, and I think the watch has a screen, and the screen can tell me stuff. I don't have to get my phone out for. But I know that's not really the purpose of the ring. I just don't think I need a ring and a watch. But if I was a man who did not like to wear watches, then I think that ring would be good. I could see myself buying it to get that kind of extra health metrics.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, you're right. I wouldn't want to... If they're doubling up on the... on the city, the metrics, I don't necessarily need both, like you say, but I do like the idea of the ring. And when I've looked at the Aura rings before, I really like the colors they come in, because they come
in nice finishes, don't they?
Yeah, brushed titanium, silver, black, stealth, what was the other one, gold, and they do rose gold as well. And I like the look of it. I genuinely like the look of the Aura ring, but they are quite expensive, because they are start at $299.
And then, do they really?
Oh, then they have the $349 for what they call Horizon. And then you pay $599 a month as well for the membership.
Oh, man, there's a subscription involved as well.
Of course there is.
Blimey.
So, like, you've got all of that, right? I wonder, maybe I'm wrong. I didn't see how much this was going to cost. I'm not sure if that... Did they say...
No, there was no pricing yet. No. But
yeah.
I don't know if you caught that in other news, and I couldn't find the article, but I remember reading Apple was just granted a patent for the iRing.
Yes, I did see somewhere about that, yes.
But I could not find the article again, so maybe we'll have to do a bit more searching on that one. I'm not sure Apple's actually going to come out one, but they have been granted the patent.
Yeah, here it is, I found it, because that was, I think the news of that broke in November. Around the patent, because there is a website, you know, that tracks Apple patents called
Patent the Apple.
and they it says Apple they won a patent covering a smart ring that uses NFC and also acts as a Vision Pro controller with in-air gestures.
Okay, so a slightly different target for that, yeah.
Yeah, but apparently Apple also patented a ring back in 2015.
Okay.
Now, as we know, we've said this on this store on this show before. Apple, like many tech companies, publish hundreds, if not maybe more, patents a year, don't they? That really never see the light of day. You know, not all of them come
anywhere.
No, they're there to help them. You know, I guess have the IP, get royalties on it if somebody else wants to build a solution off the back of it, isn't it? Those kind of things as well. But I think Apple probably would come out with something like this in the future. Whether they need to is a different question, because the watch has established itself as a really solid health and fitness tracker, hasn't it? You know,
it does all
of those things.
Most popular watch in the world.
It is. And if it was a watch business on its own, it would be bigger than every other watch business pretty much together as well, wouldn't it? So I think this is a really novel approach. Samsung are trying something different here. They are going to step on the toes of Aura. I wonder how well it will sell. That's, again, going to be dependent on the price point, isn't it? But
I bet there isn't a subscription involved, though.
Well, no, that's a good point. If you've already got all of the devices, you're not going to need a subscription, are you?
No, exactly. Whereas
Aura, on the other hand, don't have that business model. So I guess for Aura, they haven't got an ecosystem which you're buying into. So they need to pay for monetize you somehow to be able to do all of that processing on the back end in the cloud. That's my guess on it anyway.
Yeah, we'll have to see on that one.
But I was very tempted with Aura when I read about it, because they do like in-depth sleep analysis every morning. Well, I get a bit of that anyway today, but I'm guessing this is a bit more tailored to you as a person rather than you slept well, you know. You've got 7 hours.
How many minutes of deep sleep did I have? None last night? Oh my God, really?
Oh, don't. So I use an app on my phone in conjunction with the watch called Wellatory.
Right.
And it is a subscription based app, though I refuse to pay for the subscription. But it gives you all the things like heart rate variability. Mm. It talks about the sleep analysis. It also works out about on your stress and energy to see whether you're illness. It's quite clever that way. So it takes it basically takes everything that the watch is already doing and gives you I guess more readable human
insight metrics. Into it.
Yeah. So last night it reckoned I had 2 hours, 12 minutes of REM sleep,
yep.
4 hours, 24 minutes of light sleep, and 48 minutes of deep sleep. And I was awake for 8 minutes. And that was between 22:30 and 06:45. Hmm. Apparently, I woke up twice. I don't remember waking up twice. I like a lot of that. I guess, you know, we as humans, we've managed to get through most of our existence without this information. But I don't know, there's something about it. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I just like reading it sometimes, be like, oh, really? Did I sleep that badly? Maybe
that explains why I feel like crap this morning.
Yeah, there's a bit of that, yeah, I have to say. And I guess, you know, if you're a Samsung customer, user, owner, you know, you two now can join in the party with all of this information. But yeah, look, it looks good. I want to know the pricing on it. Though I guess if you have to have the watch and the Galaxy S24 series phone as well to use it, that's probably going to have some contention.
It's going to get expensive.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? But, you know, Samsung, they also presented at MWC their new era of mobile AI as well, wasn't it? Which is kind of attracting. We'll talk when we talk about the release. AI featured really prominently at Mobile Congress. And I hate to say it, but I really do feel we've fallen into this buzzword bingo now with AI, haven't we? And it's become almost like if you don't have it in your product slash name tag, you're not doing it right. And it's just it seems that everybody's got something that's AI, whether it's vision AI, whether it's, I don't know, fitness AI, whether it's, I don't, whatever it is, AI just seems to be the thing you need to have in your tagline or, sorry, you know, your product isn't cool anymore. That's just what it feels like, really, to me. I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's me just seeing it badly, but I don't know. What's your thought?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted there. I'm just babbling away, and I wonder why I'm not getting a response. No, I was going to say, no, AI is kind of everywhere. I'm getting a bit bored of it now, but say there's a lot of AI that isn't really AI, but I suppose that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, I mean, so like, you know, my point around that kind of was, you know, there was a press release that Samsung put out saying that they were going to unleash, and I quote, new mobile experiences with Galaxy AI at Mobile Congress. And that would be experience the Galaxy AI hands-on across the product line, including their 24 series, which leads into a new mobile era of mobile AI. And then it says Galaxy AI will be extended across the portfolio into the Galaxy Book 4, the Galaxy Watch 6 with intelligent health. And it just goes on. It's just, like you say, it's almost like repetitive words now.
Maybe AI, it was written AI. By AI.
It probably was. I have no doubt.
Maybe it was written by Bixby. I mean, where's he gone?
Oh, my God. Blast from the past there, Bixby. Wow.
Where have they gone? Weren't they AI?
Well, Bixby was she who should not be mentioned, wasn't it? That was, oh God, that was, I don't know, does that still exist?
No, I think they've canned that one.
Well, they've canned the name. I think it probably exists as a...
It's not Uncle Bixby anymore, no. Bixby, yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was, yeah, I remember Bixby. Yes, that was, sorry, I was just, you know, when you like have a moment of like, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Clippy to make a return.
Oh, don't, you will, you know it will, you know it will. I mean, on a kind of tangent, I wrote a blog post today, I started writing a blog post today on what are AI co-pilots.
Yep.
Because everybody now seems to be releasing an AI co-pilot, don't they?
Yes, it does indeed.
So I kind of started writing a blog post today to kind of explain like I'm five, what is an AI co-pilot? Because I really do think a lot of people probably...
Having a clue.
Don't, yeah, what, you know, and it isn't, we're not talking about, you know, Goose and Maverick, you know, the kind of wingman slash co-pilot slash, you know, guy sits behind you, you know. But yeah, it just got me thinking anyway, off the back of that. But yeah, it's AI does seem to be everywhere, and no doubt there will be AI inside or AI powered as part of this new health piece from through Samsung. So anyway, that leads us nicely into then talk about a bit more the roundup from MWC then. So Carl, do you want to kick it off with some of the things that perhaps, you know, came to light for you or were interesting for you?
We're going to talk later about Apple's car that is no longer alive. But Xiaomi are actually releasing a car. They were there with their new SU7 electric car. And you know what? It looks pretty good.
I'm glad you can pronounce that because I always look at that and say the wrong thing.
Yeah, I know. I've had to program myself. It's not the way I want to say it, but it's the way I should. But it does look like a really nice car. It looks a bit like a Taycan.
Taycan.
The electric Porsche.
Yeah, do you know, I'm glad you said that because I was looking at the picture of it or pictures of it, and I thought, yeah, that's really got some Porsche DNA there. The way the kind of the roundness of the bonnet and the back end of it, it almost looks like Porsche met a Tesla and something's come off the back of it. But it looks pretty impressive. I was quite. It said that it was 0 to 100 kilometers in 2.7 seconds.
Unbelievable. Is that a quick car?
It is. Again, no word on pricing though of what that's going to be. and whether or not it'd be available in certain markets, because I suppose will it meet? You know, is it going to meet global? Safety measures. Is it going to have all of the abilities of it? But it is an impressive looking.
It's very nice looking. They're saying between 369,000 and 509,000 yen. I don't know what that is in pounds.
No, and apparently this is part of Zone. Xiaomi. I did a little bit of read up on this, and it's apparently this is. They've also built and designed their own e-motors for it called the Hyper Engine. Did you see this? I don't know if you saw this.
No, I hadn't seen that one.
So the Hyper Engine is what designed. So the Hyper Engine V6 is in mass production, is on board, and they are developed the Hyper Engine V8. So the Hyper Engine V6 is 21,000 RPM. The V8, which is 2025, is 27,000 RPM. And then the Hyper Engine, which is a pre-research carbon sleeve rotor, will be 35,000 RPM.
Wowza.
And this is all parts. So all of it is their own battery technology, their own floor casting. This is not. This is for what people used to make a phone. This has gone real full circle.
Pricing, okay. So it'll probably completely change. But doing a direct conversion from yen to pounds, it's between 40,000 and 65,000.
If that's the price of it, that is very attractive, isn't it? Given the cost of Teslas, Polestars, etc.
I'm saying it is a very nice looking car, I must admit.
So, like you say, we'll talk a little bit more about other cars that don't exist in a moment.
So, what else? The completely pointless one, but it was cool, the Lenovo transparent laptop.
I'm struggling. I'm lost with this on this. One.
So, it's not transparent, it's just transparent plastic. The screen is transparent. OLED, I'm presuming. I didn't quite sure what it was.
I think it must be, surely.
Transparent OLED screen, which looked very cool and futuristic, but why?
I struggle with this one massively because I was like, it's a really cool concept. You know, you've got a transparent screen that you can see behind it. But when would you use it?
I can't think of a use case. I think most of the times it's going to be more difficult to work with because it's transparent and all the light sources behind which is going to reflect through.
I mean, we must state that this is a future kind of view, isn't it? That their concept that they're doing here. And it comes with a built-in drawing tablet as well. And it looks like something out of Cyberpunk 2077, doesn't it? You know, like sat on the desk of
Lacaz interface on it? Could be Star Trek Next Generation?
Well, it could be, with that kind of Perspex style screen, isn't it? You know, but you're right. I don't get it. The only thing I can think of it is that it's designed for an AR future.
Maybe. But
it's a concept. But it is a concept.
I don't know. Yeah, it's concept. So I mean, that was an interesting one. There was another kind of quirky one from Motorola. I don't know if you saw that one. The
wrist
bending wrist. So it's basically a phone with a where you can bend the display, okay? And you wear like a special magnetic bracelet and you can basically slap it down. You know, as kids play with those.
The kids have got
to slap on your wrist. It's like that, but it bends the display backwards and suddenly becomes like a bracelet of a giant display on it. I worry about how easy that would fall off.
I was going to say, but my kids have got those snap bracelets. You know, I can't even remember them when we were kids as well. Yeah. But yeah, they kind of end up slapping themselves with it and, you know, causing all kinds of chaos. So hopefully they wouldn't do that with a Motorola phone here. But yeah, it looks huge. You know, so imagine a typical size phone, which
it
looked curves
like 15
around
Pro Max, that kind of size, did it?
Yeah, and it's curved around the top, and then you have that on your wrist. I mean, I'm sorry. If people are complaining about the size of, you know, current phones and watches, why would you have that
Watch
on
Ultra you? Being too big, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that at all. Sorry.
No, it was interesting, though, but I don't think anything will come of it. No. What else? Did you have anything?
So there's a couple of comments. So HMD, who own the Nokia phone brand, not Nokia the company, they are releasing two phones as well, with a partnership with Mattel for a Barbie flip phone.
Oh, the Barbie pink flip phone, yes.
Yeah, which is, you know, classic style flip phone, but with smart features. And also, what it also calls the HMD Fusion phone, which is designed for those of us that like to tinkle. Tinker, excuse me, that's a completely different problem. So it's effectively a phone that you can take pieces out, unlock. It has an unlock bootloader from Amazon, Android. I can't speak to them, so sorry. An unlock bootloader from Android, and you'll be able to swap it in and out the hardware. So there'll be different pins on the back. You can put different accessories on.
Haven't we been through this before?
Yeah, so their argument, their example was, one of their spokespersons said, was this could be, imagine if you need to have different accessories. So you're working from a medical perspective and you've got an app and you want to do test blood. So they were saying that you could have a piece of hardware that you could clip to the back of the phone, combine with the app, and then, you know, work in the field, you know, things like that. Or you have to build, you know, put a notification system on it or some hardware for voice or, you know, anything like that. That's what they're kind of thinking at, rather than there was that phone who
Google
allowed
Aura,
you to...
I was just googling it. Google's Aura modular phone, which had all the different bricks you just slotted in and out for different functions.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, it's a different approach here with it. They're not saying for people like you want to swap out, a bit like the framework laptops, this is more designing like a Raspberry Pi, where you could build it into functions or you could build hardware for it. Personally, I think I'm more excited for the Barbie phone, really.
It'll look great.
Yeah. So actually, sorry, looking back at my notes, sorry, I realized I'd underlined smartphone. It is not a smartphone. It's going to be a traditional
feature
flip phone. Yes, that's the word, feature phone. Sorry, that's what I was thinking of. So that was one of the things kind of was there as well. The other one was, there was more hands-on, apparently, with the Humane AI pin. So this is that new kind of almost like Star Trek-style communicator that you clip onto
your badge
your,
you put on yourself, yeah.
Yeah. That and then allows you to talk and work to it. There's been a, and it kind of, doesn't it? It projects.
Oh, it's got the laser projector. You put it on your hand, can't you?
That's it. And you have gestures now. So apparently it was hands-on there. And some of the reports from journalists at MWC said that it did work quite well until it didn't. So there were concerns around, I think, how effective it is.
Although I'm going to put a caveat there, you're at MWC. The Wi-Fi is going to be rubbish. The cellular is going to be saturated. And I'm guaranteeing this thing needs an internet connection to work.
You've hit the nail on the head. Everything it does, or pretty much most of the stuff it does, is not done on the device.
No.
So, and the fact that it comes with its own built-in SIM makes me wonder as well that they chose a very bad time to demo that, you know?
Yeah.
The things that were positive apparently were the laser projection works really well.
Okay.
You can read it. That actually looks is done, but it's the concern is if you haven't got the right data, it's all right. And apparently though, one of the people from Humane AI said that it isn't intended to be a phone replacement. So you still need your phone. And do you know how much it was? $699.
And a subscription, I'm sure.
And a subscription. will be available in April.
See, I'm not really convinced by that one. I still want to get one of these. Is it the Rabbit R ones?
Yes.
They sound pretty cool. They're only 170 quid.
And I've seen quite a few things on LinkedIn recently about that, saying...
Are they actually out yet? Or
I'm not sure, but they're saying, how are they making money on it? I think they are out, because there were a lot of people going, doubting, how are they making money? And apparently they are making money around it because they, I think they're selling the services, the data and things like that. So yeah, I'm curious to see how that works as well. Going back to kind of the list of things that were there that can call my eye, there was also the new Oppo AI smart glasses. So Oppo have released the Air Glass 3, which looked like kind of standard pair of glasses. Right. But you tap the sides, they've got controls. Sounds a bit like, do you remember those Ray-Ban ones that Facebook
partnered with? Meta's Ray-Bans.
Yeah. But these are very similar to that as well. Now, do you remember those
AR glasses? You've got to explain it, because the Meta ones, I don't think, have AR in them.
No, so these apparently will bring up information on the screen. I read. Okay. Details are a bit sketchy at the moment. There was only a prototype, and apparently they won't be available outside of China at the moment, which is a shame.
Okay. Because I mean, we talked about it before. Was it X-Real?
That's the one. I was trying to think of the name of them. Yeah,
but I don't think they were AI. They were just AR glasses.
Yeah, I think they were. That's right. Yeah. The other one that caught my eye was, and unsurprisingly, talking of AI. Is that Gemini? We're not Bard anymore, are we? Gemini, which is Google's LLM, is now going to be integrated into Android. Just in time for MWC, several of the key apps got updated on Android.
Fixed the racist problem at the moment.
you mentioned that. I was just going to mention that. So apparently, Gemini is now inside Google Messages. Now, I'm not sure if that's available everywhere. And also, it will be starting to be rolled out across Android Auto, Google Docs, and some new accessibility features for those that are people are visually impaired. So apparently, it's rolling out. So it should show up soon in Google Messages. You need to be enrolled in Google's beta testing program to be able to get to it. You don't need the Google One subscription yet, because if you want to try Gemini Pro, it's a Google One AI subscription. I pay for ChatGPT just to be transparent. I use Google Bard and I use Claude as well from Anthropic as well. I have to say, sorry, I keep saying Bard because that's what it was, but you know, Gemini is not as good as the other two. It is really not to the same degree. The responses are not as sharp or detailed. It's good for creating quick content, asking it to summarize data. And to your point, yes, it does have some problems. We'll just talk about it in a second. Putting Gemini messages, apparently, it'll only be able to converse in English. It's going to let you add handwritten comments and documents. You're about to talk to it. This to me looks like the upgrade that we've been wanting for She Not Should Not Be Mentioned. To go back to your point though about Gemini and its
issues with color.
So Gemini had an image creation capability, didn't it?
And yes, it's on pause at the moment.
They have turned it, yeah, that's correct. So Google have had to turn off the image creation piece on Gemini, which apparently they will return back on because it was unable to differentiate between color of skin, and what was happening was, according to, you know, reports, people who used it, it was, you'd ask it to say, create me a picture of, I don't know, some Catholics, wasn't it? Or create me a picture of the Pope, or create me a picture of I think one of them somebody did, wasn't it, people from medieval age, wasn't it, or something?
Yes.
And what it seemed to be doing, and again, I don't necessarily understand why it did it, but it appeared to be creating everybody with dark skin tone, wasn't it?
Yes, even when you explicitly asked it to provide a certain skin tone, it would just ignore you anyway.
I don't understand why did it. I personally hadn't tried it to get it. No. Yeah, I did ask it to try and create me a picture the other day in Gemini, and it couldn't do it. so maybe that was the problem. But yes, there was some weird stuff going on there, wasn't there? I don't know about you, but when I first saw those sort of tweets and stuff, people doing it, I thought somebody was sort of having a gag and was trying to be silly.
Yeah.
But it turns out that no. No. That's not the case.
There are some fundamental issues going on with it.
Yeah, Google, apparently, according to Google, their explanation is and that there was embarrassing and wrong images. They said that the model produced inaccurate historical images due to the tuning issues. Because actually it was also... I shouldn't laugh, and I'm sorry. Apparently it also created racially diverse Nazis.
Okay.
And also the US founding fathers.
Right, okay.
Apparently it was, it wasn't, it was, it became, apparently the more it did it, it became very cautious, and it even refused, according to Google, to answer certain prompts. Now, look, it was great to see an AI model creating diverse images. No, because there's no reason why it shouldn't, isn't it?
No, exactly.
But this is, you know, I know we've gone down a tangent here, but this to me is the whole problem with the data sets that you train an LM, a large language model with.
Yep.
You can put bias in here, unintentional bias, or get it to overcompensate, like what we're seeing here, because if you ask it to create specific images, as they put, of, you know, a black person or a white person or a different racial set, you know, it's going to create different things. But yeah, you're right. Google, I think, really got it wrong here, to be fair. It creates some some fantastic images.
Oh, the images themselves look fantastic.
But yeah, it's gone the wrong way. So what was the other one? Did you see who was it? One of the smartwatches Xiaomi. I think it was Xiaomi again.
Xiaomi, yeah.
They've kind of gone down the Swatch model where you can now swap out the bezels for it.
Okay, cool.
So they've gone down that road as well. But I think, you know, I'm not seeing so many phones there. Because of the Chinese manufacturers of bands there, I'm not seeing so much of kind of the big way. There was a lot more around, you know, kind of, I guess, software pieces. The one that did pique my eye, by the way, was there was a company called Avenir Telecom who have created a 2800 milliamp battery with a phone in it.
Oh, okay. It's not a... Right, it's a phone in the battery, not a battery in the phone. Gotcha.
Thank you. It's got IP69 rating.
Wow.
With 122 hours of talk time and standby time of 2,252 hours, 94 days.
Wowza.
It's called the Hardcase P28K, and it's going to be sold under the Energizer brand, which they licensed. But yeah, so I wasn't, I guess, for me, kind of when we talk about hardware and tech, yeah, I wasn't, there was nothing kind of majorly but blew me away, to be honest with you, on that point.
No, me neither.
So let's swing the wheel of fortune over to talk about Nvidia, because we talk about AI a lot this week, but Nvidia really have leapt, haven't they, from a company that was, you know, doing well,
kind of hobbling around 10-12 billion for many, many years.
But in the last 18 months, have become a $2 trillion market cap company, overtaking, you know, people like Intel, who they were kind of on par with, wasn't it, for quite a while?
Yeah. I mean, it was only a year ago they reached $1 trillion market cap. So, and obviously, a lot of this started with the old cryptocurrency, didn't it?
Initially,
buying
the
GPUs, whatever they could get to mine Bitcoin. But now, I mean, the big one now is AI, because that doesn't have to, but generally relies on GPUs for that one.
It is. And I think Nvidia have found themselves almost, you know, kind of being like those prospectors, you know, in the 1800s in the gold rush, wasn't it? You know, they've hit gold. They were doing all right. You know, they were kind of, you know, finding the odd nugget, weren't they? And like you say, business was doing well. But now they have, you know, hit the mother load, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, they've recently did what their financial results and made, what, $60 billion in profit last year, 2023? So 126% increase on the year before. So, yeah, they are not just making lots of money, a tidy profit as well.
And when I look at the market cap at the moment on my stock tracker here on my machine,
yeah,
you've got Apple, $2.75 trillion market cap, Microsoft, $3 trillion market cap, Nvidia, $2.02 trillion market cap, and then Amazon, 1.8, Google, 1.7, and it goes down. You know, Nvidia have leapt over, you know, what we would traditionally think of as the big. You know, the big set of, you know, yep, players in
Bang,
the market space,
or whatever they call it.
Yeah, and it's like they've left it. And you're right; they were positioned really heavily to get the Bitcoin cryptocurrency mining, because everybody wanted GPUs, didn't they? So we saw loads of these farms being spun up. During the pandemic or just before the pandemic, we saw that real dip in availability of the GPUs because cryptocurrency was, harvesting them. Then their fortunes dipped a bit, didn't they, when governments, particularly the Chinese market, regulated cryptocurrency.
Yeah, they kind of fell outright banned it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bandit. And then you're right. All of a sudden, we had AI models, and particularly that H100 GPU, which was which is their mainstay, I should say. All of a sudden, opened up a complete mainstay business, and it's just rocketed. There was an infographic on online the other day, wasn't it? That was showing. I think it was tracking against Intel, wasn't it? That the stock price of Nvidia and Intel tracking along. Intel. Bigger company. Several hundred billion dollar market cap.
Yep.
Nvidia, as you say, coasting along underneath. And then all of a sudden, within the last, 2 years, last 5 years, Bitcoin, and then last year, all of a sudden, it flips, doesn't it? And Nvidia just like get on a rocket ship and fly off into the sun. And it's just unbelievable. And we're seeing, obviously, people like Microsoft, we've seen OpenAI and Intel as well. Are realizing that if they don't start to design their own chips and capability, they are going to just be paying money hand over fist to them.
I'm interested to see how their performance does once, Microsoft, OpenAI, whoever build their own chips and the kind of impact that will have.
Well, that's a really good question. And you'd really like to hope that Nvidia worked out this is going to happen. They must know this, because otherwise they're going to be in a position where they were with the Bitcoin situation, where they're going to fall off a cliff again.
Yep.
But it's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight, is it? Because development of chips takes a long time. We've seen that before. They're going to have to, these other companies are going to have to work very heavily on it. For a while, we're still seeing massive demand for AI models. ChatGPT obviously is a great example of that. We know that Microsoft have built masses of resilience around there in the Azure data centers. Yep. So we've seen that. And also we know that Meta have also invested heavily in Nvidia for their AI as well. So I think for the moment they're safe, but it's just I think a real amazing story of how, this small company who started off making graphics cards, which initially weren't that good, let's be honest,
the original ones, I think I had one and returned it.
I read the other day that Jensen Huang sold, when the company was in its infancy, he sold $200 of stock to his lawyer.
Right, okay.
Apparently today, that share which he sold would be equivalent to $400 billion.
Oh man!
But that's like who was the guy? Wasn't it the fourth founder of Apple? I can't think of the guy's name.
Don't know.
When it went in with Steve Jobs and that, and he sold his stock as well. But apparently, that would have been worth like half a trillion dollars or something at one point.
God, wow! Yeah, hindsight, man.
Hindsight is great. Anyway, let's keep rolling on it. So let's talk about Apple then, and the EU and the DMA, because there is money. There's a big fine looming, isn't there? That Apple could be hit with around anti-competitive behavior once again.
Oh yes, this is the whole Spotify thing. This kicked off in 2013, I think it was. So it's been going on for a while, but I think it's finally coming to an end. But yeah. Apple could face, a $500 million fine. And this is basically, this is to do with Apple not allowing people at a time, I think they do now, appointing you to purchase elsewhere. So you couldn't put, Spotify, you couldn't put a front page bit saying when you want to pay, please go to our website to pay. You weren't allowed to do any of that. Users just had to find it themselves, didn't they? Or they had to pay via the App Store and Apple would take their 30% cut.
So this is it, isn't it? And this, you're right, this is a historical claim on that point of view. It goes back, wasn't it, all the way back to 2013. The case was filed 4 years ago, as you say. And now we're in a very different place here. Apple argue against Spotify's complaint, don't they, that Spotify pays nothing to them other than $99 a year.
Yeah, for their developer account.
But they also argue, don't they? Apple also argue that they use Test Flight for free, and they've tested over 500 versions of it. Apple also apparently have reviewed 420, but this is brilliant stats, 420 versions of the Spotify app. Yeah. And then the best one to doubt, which I'm sure you saw as well, the download stats for Spotify. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
119 billion times.
Yeah.
Which I suppose what Apple's argument is this is just cost you $99 a year.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty impressive. Return on investment there. As I say, which pretty much Spotify wants a limitless access to all the tools and the customers without paying really a cent to Apple.
But they're getting that though, aren't they? If you look at it from Apple's perspective,
they are getting that. But Spotify want to be able to put the payment in the app and not pay anything for it, or direct users to and not pay anything for it. They released lengthy statements that they're in the articles, but. Yeah, I mean, I'm really struggling with Spotify's point here,
I am.
Personally, I think 30% in this day and age is too much. Apple have rectified that to a degree, but Spotify aren't paying that anyway. The way I look at it, Spotify must have other partners it pays. Where does it store its music? It's not put on hard drives in its office, is it? it's got CDNs for data transfer. It's paying the artists in the studios, though, from what I've heard, not a lot of money. It's not taking them to court to ask them to do it for free, is it?
No.
It's just kind of hypocrisy going on here. They just, it riles me up, that one. Spotify have had a massive free ride.
I'm with you on this, and this is what I find really frustrating. I don't deny that the anti-competitive behaviour was there before, but Apple have been forced to make a lot of changes since then. And given, you kind of look at Apple's argument to say, here is what you're offering now, and their argument is, Apple's also argument, as you point out, is that theirs is a free app, so they don't have to justify any in-app purchase, because you're not technically, you don't have to pay for anything, do you? The app is free, you don't have to pay for it. They're not paying any sales commission to Apple on the sense of, my app has cost me 99p or whatever, when we talked about that before, didn't we, around that whole piece around the pricing model. So I think this is a weaker argument, that if the EU award in favor of Apple, in favor of Spotify here, I think this probably setting a really bad precedent, particularly.
Yeah.
But that's just okay, I'm sure, our point. Just jumping over a quick story, we'll come back to the car one second, but obviously, we've been talking about the changes that are happening now with iOS 17.4 and the new store capabilities that are going to be available in the EU, which is actually available now, actually, because it's in GA, isn't it? Unsurprisingly, we both said, I bet you, big companies will not like the model around the install and the cost per app. Lo and behold, both Meta and Microsoft have now, not to the door to you, saying that the terms that Apple have put together to use your own third-party store are, according to them, onerous and prohibitive. Yes. Well, that is no surprise, is it? Let's be honest.
You forced Apple at gunpoint to do it. Of course it was going to drag its heels a little bit.
They put it to the letter of the agreement, didn't they?
Yeah.
And now they've decided to say, they've taken it to you. According to the Financial Times, they have now lobbying the EU, asking to reject Apple's response or offer better terms, aren't they, basically?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll just to see how this one was going. But I mean, I suppose you could argue that if you knew Apple was going to follow it to the letter, the letter of law should have been better.
Well, yeah. I mean, apparently, it's interesting that a lot of people come out saying it. The Match Group, who own Tinder, have said that the EU's acceptance of Apple's plan is far from assured. Well, let's see what happens, because the DMA comes into force in a couple of weeks, doesn't it?
It's the 6th of March, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, it is. You're right.
The 1st of March, it's next week.
Yeah, it's next week. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. So, we're going to see whether or not they're going to issue any fines. This is a bit like the whole GDPR thing. GDPR had the power to have big fines, but
we've not seen a single one, have we?
Well, we have.
Well, biggish fines, but not 10% of your global turnover or anything like that.
No, that was it. You're right. They were. It was up to 20 million euro or up to 4 million of global turnover, whichever is higher.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. We've seen some fines there. I think there were some big multi-million dollar fines, but
they were also reduced on appeal.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, I think the highest fine that we've seen was to Meta for 1.2 billion euro.
Which, again, was a drop in the ocean. It was nowhere near 10 or 20% of their global profit. No.
There are, don't get me wrong, there have been, Meta were also fined 405 million, 390 million, 265 million. WhatsApp were fined 225 million. Facebook were fined Ireland with 60 million. There's a theme here. Do you see it?
Yeah, they don't care about your data.
It goes on. But yeah, you're right. You know, there have been a lot of fines, but I guess they've maybe not been heavily publicised. So it'd be interesting to see whether the DMA does have teeth or it's just a paper tiger. I don't know.
We'll see.
Anyway,
yeah.
Let's talk about the Apple Car, because that's where I wanted to kind of round up before we talk about PSVR thing. So the Apple Car has been cancelled. So Apple have made official announcement to say that they are cancelling development of the car, which officially was known as the Special Projects Group, or SPG, and they're going to move to their artificial intelligence division, who are going to focus on Gen AI.
So I love that there was an official announcement saying the Canada project, of which there was never an official announcement saying it started. But we all knew Project Titan was underway. I mean, they did what? They've been working on this for the last 10 years. They've sunk countless billions. Apparently had over 2,000 people working on it. But surely you can't find all of those people new homes, because some of them are automotive engineers who won't know anything about AI.
This is what I love. So, I mean, there was rumoured it was called Project Titan. But you're right. There was never an official announcement from Apple to say, yeah, we've made a car, we're building a car. There was different rumors to suggest that they were building the platform for a car, wasn't it, that they would license.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I know Xiaomi have done it, but I think if you look at it here, Apple would have had to have spun up a whole new business, wouldn't they? Because building a car is not just building a car. It's all of these surrounding businesses,
health and safety,
laws
they have to buy by, all that kind of stuff as well.
The powertrain, the battery systems, the safety, all of it that goes around it is not just a group. And I'm sure they've learned something from this. And we've seen loads of departures, haven't we? Them saying that people have left other companies to join Apple, but now you've seen the other way around. Hopefully this will now drive forward the AI project that they need to be doing.
And also, hopefully, some more investment in CarPlay.
Well, yeah, that would be great.
I'd like to see some improvements there. I'd like to see the advanced CarPlay, or CarPlay Next. I can't remember what they were calling it.
That's what
I was
going to say, yeah.
Dash. I'd love to see that in some cars.
Well, that's what I was going to say was, you know, where's all of these great announcements of the new CarPlay that we were going to see? I think there's only one manufacturer, hasn't it, announced that they're going to embed some of it, but I've not seen any in the wild.
No, none at all.
But it is puzzling. You know, I know there's not much we can say about a project that never got off the ground officially. But yeah, it's a strange admission from Apple, to say the least.
It is. It is. Talking of strange things, yeah, I'm a bit surprised by this one. So tucked away in the latest PlayStation blog post about upcoming PSVR2 games was a small statement of interest. It said, "We're pleased to share that we are currently testing the ability for PSVR2 players to access additional games on PC to offer even more game variety in addition to PSVR titles, etc. We plan to have this support available in 2024. So yeah, PlayStation VR2 coming to PC.
So this kind of... So we talked a bit about this the other day, didn't we? That there was rumours that it was happening, but we didn't see much about it.
Yeah.
But the interesting part there, though, it says access additional games. Now, it doesn't say that you'll be able to use it with, you know, like, say, you know, any game.
No.
I wonder whether or not this is going to be certain ports.
Yeah, that wording, and obviously the fact it's Sony, does give me concern. So, yeah, that access additional games on PC, that's ominous sounding. Yeah. Are they just going to limit it to certain games tied down? It didn't sound like they were going to make it like Steam VR compatible, where you could play thousands of games.
Yeah,
Because it's interesting that from all accounts, the PlayStation VR 2 headset is a great bit of kit. It's got great 4K screens. The controllers are meant to be some of the best in the business. It's a little pricey at just over £500, I think. But for us PC VR enthusiasts, it's not really a huge amount of money for a decent headset.
No, and I saw a report on ING yesterday that was saying that they had a headline saying, a year since its release, Sony seems to have abandoned the PlayStation VR 2. So I kind of wonder, is this Sony's way to kind of resurrect it from the dead?
Could be, if you know, it's a decent bit of kit. If we get it, if they did it properly and made it Steam VR compatible, I could see quite a lot of PC VR enthusiasts going, I'll have one of those. Because the alternative at that price range is a Quest, and that's Meta, and they want all your data.
So they apparently the 40 games at launch that supported it.
Yeah.
You know, things like, and there were a couple in there that make me wonder whether we'll see. So No Man's Sky was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil Village.
Yeah.
What was the other one I saw that made me think that was a crossover? I probably can't find it now. But those two jumped out at me because I thought, ah, that's interesting. Those are games that are also on PC.
They are.
So
and
I wonder whether,
yeah,
and I wonder whether or not we will be able to see, again, as you say, it'll be a limited set of games that also exist on PC, also are in the Sony catalog, so to speak, and goes there. And if they do that, you're right, they'll get an extra, if it works and it's really successful, you've got an extra revenue stream. You haven't killed the project.
I don't think any PC buyers are going to buy it if you're limited to certain games.
No, but if you own, if you've got that and you're on, excuse me, if you're on the Sony ecosystem and you've got one, you've got more capability out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But I mean, in all fairness, even if Sony do it that way, which I think they will and restrict it, once it's on the PC, they're going to reverse engineer those drivers and we'll have it for every game. They'll hack that.
Yes. Do you know what? I would be interested to see if somebody could hack it. Surely somebody might be able to make it work. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see on that one. But interesting. I'm interested to see what Sony do with this and how it's actually released and what the capabilities.
I am. I am indeed. Well, on that note then, let's round up with the last part of the show today, which is going to be covering... Yes,
another Apple event.
Yes, indeed. So there are rumors then, aren't there, that there is a new Apple event coming, which is probably going to be this month. Tie in with typical Apple behavior. And we're going to see reputedly a brand new MacBook Air.
Not really. I mean, it's not a new design. I think it's the current MacBook Air, but with an M3 slapped in it.
Well, that's because the M3 is now the main chip of choice, isn't it? I don't know. Look, they apparently were released. Those 15-inch MacBook Airs were selling like hotcakes, the one they brought out last year.
Yeah.
The 15. So today is going to... today, this release, if it happens, is purely just going to be performance, isn't it? I can't see anything else here. Fresh.
I mean, the M3 is going to be a decent upgrade over the M2, isn't it? Allegedly, you got, 30% faster efficiency cores, 30% faster performance cores than the M2. It's a die shrinks, so you should get better power out of it. You also get some new hardware features. I think you get that ray tracing, didn't you? Mesh shading, dynamic caching, as well as AV1 decode for video. So there are some good improvements there. But really, this is just a mid-cycle refresh, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I know we built that up to make it wasn't, but yeah.
And we only know the M3 because it came out in the MacBook Pros or Mac Minis last year at some point, didn't it? It was released in October.
Yeah, and there also are some rumors that we might see updated iPads as well, but I don't know. I'm not sure. That's been knocking around for a while, that rumor, isn't it, about the iPads?
We'll see. But it would be surprised for them to do an event just to do MacBook Air. That sounds like just a paper release to me. So I suspect if they are actually doing an event, there'll be more than just that.
And if we know Apple, it's going to be another slickly pre-recorded event. Showcase the capabilities, which, you know, let's be honest, they work. We've said this before, they work. There's no way of saying they don't. It's a slick production. Get the products out, open up the store straight after, and those pre-orders will come rolling in, won't they?
They will. Maybe we'll see some new. Is it the AirPods, the Maxes, new versions of those. They've not been updated in, what, 3 or 4 years, have they?
No, I tell you what we also might see, new colour on the iPhones.
Yeah, it's about the time of year. We usually get a new one in this year, don't we?
Yep, and I wonder whether or not they will make an announcement, if they do it, on Vision Pro availability outside of the US.
Ah, are you thinking of buying one then?
Sorry, I didn't realise I'd won the lottery. But no, but I mean, at the moment, why would you keep that just in the US?
Yeah. Yeah, just it doesn't make sense. I think they'll release some soon.
But there you go. Well, that's probably a good place for us to wrap up for today then. We'll be back next week for episode 161. Of course, you can still find us on Twitter. We are at Weekly Tech Rant, and all of our show notes are techrant.online. And of course, wherever you get your podcast from, if you want to share with your friends and let them know about the show. Right, Carl. I think that's a good place to finish. So I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good one all.